Of all the passages of Scripture, none is uniquely known like 1 Corinthians 13. Think of it. Is there any other passage of Scripture, chapter of the Bible, that has its own well-known name? Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is commonly called the... What other chapters like that? Can you think of anything from Genesis to Revelation that has a title like that that everybody recognizes? The only thing that comes somewhat close would be Hebrews chapter 11. But there's no real commonly known name. Some call it the Hall of Fame of Saints or something along that line. But everyone refers to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter. Whenever there is a scripture reading at a wedding, what do you think they read? 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because it's the love chapter. And you know what? I think it's misnamed. I think it's taken out of context. I think it is very rarely preached within its context. Let me ask you a question. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a chapter that deals with the exercise of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a chapter that deals with the exercise of... Spiritual gifts. Let's see. Spiritual gifts. Well, then it's the love chapter. Now I think it's a chapter that deals with the exercise of spiritual gifts in the context of love. The context really is declared with the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Well, what he is saying in context is, here are these Corinthians that were desiring for themselves to show off their spiritual gifts, and they're almost making a game out of it. They were seeing how great they could be when the real purpose of spiritual gifts and the exercise of them was to minister grace to other people. It's what I can give you rather than what I can gain out of these things. And he said, I want you to covet, I want you to earnestly desire for your assembly, not for yourselves, but for your assembly, the best gifts that your congregation can be, the best that it possibly can be, that you can reach the greatest heights for the glory of God. Yet, there's a better way than having all the spiritual gifts. And that's by exercising love. That really is what he is saying here in 1 Corinthians 13. It's a contrast between the value of spiritual gifts or the limitations of spiritual gifts and the exaltations of love. In the first three verses, we see how love is superior than the exercise of spiritual gifts, in that the exercise of spiritual gifts requires love for effective accomplishment, whereas love requires nothing. Do you realize you can love a person and have no spiritual gifts at all? But you still can love. But he's saying in the first three verses here, if you don't have love in the exercise of spiritual gifts, they're worthless. Let me look at these with you tonight. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not, the King James has charity. I'm going to convert that to the word love. It's the Greek word agape, which is normally translated love. Charity has the idea, not a wrong idea, of being benevolent to somebody, but it's far more than that. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Notice in each of those three verses, with the exercise of a spiritual gift, if love doesn't accomplish it, it accomplishes nothing. Zilch. The first gift that he speaks of is the gift of speaking in a foreign language, tongues of men. Some would say, well, there are also other kinds of tongues. He talks about the tongues of angels here. Actually, that's not what he has in mind. In each of these three verses, he states a spiritual gift, and then he takes that spiritual gift to the utmost infinite degree. Though I have the gift of speaking in a language of man, which was what the gift of tongues was, so perfect that it sounded like angels. If I didn't exercise that gift, it would be like taking a gong, boing, and just repeatedly banging on that thing. Think about that for a minute. A person banging on a gong. How long could you listen to that? Once, twice, three times we're pushing it. After that, that's enough. My ears are starting to hurt. Or a tinkling cymbal. There, I saw a commercial on TV, and I don't remember what it was for, but it shows an orchestra, and a guy has a little triangle that he... Bing! You saw the thing too? What's the company?
Geico
commercial. Geico, well, some figures. And this guy has this little triangle, ding! And when you're in an orchestra, if you're playing the triangle, that's what you get out of it, ding! And you're done. Well, he comes out and ding, 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 and he's rolling around on the floor and he's doing a triangle solo. It's disgusting. Everybody is going like that. And yet Paul says, if I have a gift that I could magnify to the nth degree, it wouldn't be of any value. And though I have the gift of prophecy, take that to the nth degree and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Does anybody understand all the mysteries of the universe and have all the knowledge? Well, of course no one does. But he's taking this gift of knowledge and he's amplifying it. If I had all faith, which is one of the spiritual gifts that's listed, so that he could actually physically remove mountains, exalted to the nth degree, and didn't exercise that thing in the realm of love, he said, I am nothing. Zilch, nada. And though I bestow all my goods, and there is the gift of giving, found in Romans chapter 12, to feed the poor, amplified to the nth degree, and give my body to be burned, which, by the way, he never did, which is also true of the other things. He never had all mysteries and all understanding and never spoke in the tongues of angels. but nonetheless, if he gave his body to be burned, the ultimate sacrifice, and he didn't do it out of a motivation of love, profit of nothing. Spiritual gifts require the exercise of love in order for them to be effective. But when a person loves, it doesn't require a spiritual gift to exercise it. Love, therefore, is superior. Second thing, love is pure. Spiritual gifts can be exercised in a way that's not. He gives in verses 4, 5, and 6, he gives a number of qualities about love. Love suffers long. It's patient. It labors, even when the person who is being loved doesn't appreciate being loved. Love keeps going. You ever try to minister to somebody who's not appreciating what you're doing? You're doing something fantastic for them, and you think, man, I'm God's gift to you. and you don't really appreciate me. Well, that's it. I'm taking my marbles and going home. Spiritual gifts, you can just say, that's it, I'm done. Never can say that with love. Love is patient. It suffers long, and it's kind. It's benevolent towards others. I've seen people smack others on the head with spiritual gifts. Use my spiritual gifts for destruction, not construction. To put people down rather than to build them up. Charity is suffers long, is kind. Love envies not, is not jealous. It's not concerned about how I look or what I have or what you have. And that goes back to this memorization verse that we're working on. Covetousness. Oh, he's got something and I want it. Well, I've got something and I'm going to flaunt it in front of you. I be honest, I have to ask myself sometimes in preparation of messages. Bring in my understanding of Greek. And up until when Jim came here, I could usually snow everybody here. Now he knows. He got an award for Greek. Nice big, you saw that nice big loose leaf notebook? He did.
No, I didn't get that. I got two set. Well, I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, I thought it was a Greek New Testament. Wasn't it a Greek New Testament in loose leaf form or something?
No, I did get that. Yeah.
I remember that because I was there at graduation going, man, I wish I could have that. I was coveting it. And I seriously have to ask myself, am I doing this to show off, or am I doing this because it helps in understanding the message? I can't show off anymore. So that's just your benefit of being here. You're keeping me humble. Love suffers long, is kind. Envies not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It is not arrogant. Look what I have. Therefore, I'm just a little bit better than everybody else. Puts me on a different plane. Love doesn't do that. Love, there's a verse in Scripture. Something about, for God so loved the world. What was that? I've heard it once or twice before. That he gave his only begotten. Here, and Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 2, that in the incarnation, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's what love does. Love does not behave itself in an unseemly or not a very beautiful way. It's not only concerned about how things look, but that the looks match the righteousness that the ministry of God deserves. It says, not only does it matter what I say, but it matters how I say it. I guess there is a place for turn and burn evangelism. But I find that there's not too many places for it. How do you communicate the love of God and go up to a person and say, look, if you don't trust Christ, you're going to hell? Well, that's true. But does that communicate the love of God? Maybe there are some circumstances where you just have to say that. But it seems to me that probably is the last resort, though. Love does not behave itself unseemly, neither seeks its own. Does not desire to get a pat on the back when it's expressed. Is not easily provoked. In fact, the word easily is not found in the original there. It's not offended. It's willing to work even after It's been disrespected. It does not think evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It's satisfied, even when things go wrong. And yet, the exercise of spiritual gifts in every one of these things can be perverted. That's not true of those things. Love is pure. Thirdly, love is unlimited. Verse 7, beareth some things. Oh. Okay, beareth all things, believeth most things. You must have a different Bible than I have. Huh? Oh, it does say all. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's unlimited. Now, context. Believes all things. Believes that the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl. No, that's not what we're talking about here. That's right now unbelievable, the way they played today. We're not talking about believing in things that are contrary to the Word of God. But it's looking at people and saying, look, God can do whatever He wants to do with that person. God can perform the miraculous if he so desires. God can make that person. And here's a, well, maybe in the first century we could say, here's a slave that was brought up in a house and had no education or something. And that person could be like the Apostle Paul. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Looks for the best and says it can come about. It bears all things. Oh, I missed bears all things. It endures under all things. It believes all things. Hopes all things. Hangs in there when the going gets. But spiritual gifts, well, they have their limitations. You go back to some of these gifts. Well, I have the gift of giving, but there's a limitation on my giving. It's called, there's only a few bucks there. There's a limitation. I have the gift of knowledge, but my knowledge is limited. And I'm not saying I have these gifts. I'm just saying a person could say I have this gift, but there's a limitation on knowledge. There's a limitation on my ability to minister. I can be in one place at one time. That's all. Love, no limitations. Love is superior than the exercise of spiritual gifts because it's unlimited. Finally, verse 8, love never fails. It's eternal. Spiritual gifts, they're temporal. We classify spiritual gifts as those that were for the first century, consequently have ceased, and those that continue on. But I thought about this the other day. The reality of spiritual gifts is that every single one of them is temporal. Do you know we won't have spiritual gifts in heaven? Won't need them. They're all temporal. It's just a matter of how temporal they are. We'll get into that in two Sundays from tonight as we deal with the temporal nature of some of these gifts. But the fact of the matter is they're all going to come to a cessation at some point in time. Love lasts forever. I may minister using a spiritual gift and may produce an immediate result, and that immediate result may be only temporary. I'm using an illustration here, and I'm going to pick on you, Jack, because you'll love this one.
Thank you.
And Lois will go amen when I'm done. And Charlie will laugh. See, she's laughing already. I have, in this illustration, I have the gift of I have to make one up. Unlimited education. I do really know it all. And out of my infinite knowledge of all things, I communicate something that you never knew before. And you say, wow, that's really wonderful. And tomorrow, what will happen with that bit of knowledge? He won't remember it. Which is fine, because I probably won't remember doing it too. The ministration of spiritual gifts can only possibly produce temporal results. Love lasts forever. Now, what's he saying here in this chapter? He's saying, you guys are desiring to have all these gifts, and you think if you have all these gifts, it's going to put you up here, and as a corporate entity, as a congregation, you're going to excel over all the other churches. He said, I want you to have all the gifts, and I want you to have the best gifts, but I want you to understand something else. Even if you didn't have a single spiritual gift, if you exercised what you had in love, you could minister all the things you need to minister for God. Let me say that again, because it's got to sink in. Regardless of what spiritual gifts you have or don't have, if you practice love in ministry, you'll do the work of God. Now, it works a whole lot better as you use the spiritual gifts that God's given to you. I don't mean to take it and go in the opposite direction and say, oh, forget about the spiritual gifts. That's not what he's saying at all. But he's saying, don't get hung up on the gifts. Get hung up on the love of God that uses those gifts. Let's pray. Father, teach us tonight to love like you have loved us. That whether we possess a particular gift or not, we might be used of you to do wonderful things. First of all, to the body of Christ, and then secondarily, to the world around us. That Jesus Christ might be praised. For we ask it in His name. Amen. Have a good week.